So for the past few weeks, we've been hearing from St. Paul's letter to the Romans in the second reading. This beautiful theological treatise that St. Paul wrote to this community in Rome, that one of the few communities that he writes to that he wasn't the founder of that community, the Christians in Rome were already in existence. And Paul was planning to visit them, so he wrote this letter in preparation. And it's very systematic. And so when we study the letter to the Romans, we get a more full, a complete picture of who Jesus is and what it is his mission. And today we get to towards the end of chapter 11. And so chapter 9, 10, and 11, he's been talking to us about the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles. How those who came from the promise, but as we heard last week, were disobedient. And then those, the Gentiles, who were outside the promise, so they were disobedient, but now they're coming together. His mind is blown. Like, he can't really understand how this is going on. Like, what's really happening? This great mystery of Jesus and what he has brought to the world, the new reality that St. Paul is bringing, or that Jesus is bringing, that St. Paul is talking about. And so this is when he gets to this part of the letter. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Like, just as he's trying to wrap his mind around the reality of what the new life in Christ is all about and what it brings to our lives, he can't even figure it out. How inscrutable are his judgments, how unsearchable his ways. So far beyond our comprehension is the love and the mercy and the reality of the new life in Christ. St. Paul is struggling and wrestling with this mystery of Jesus Christ. And as we get to know Jesus, as we study the scriptures, as we study the teachings of the church, we too should be wrestling with this great mystery. We can't know everything. We don't know everything. And the things we do know, we know them because God has revealed them. This is what St. Paul is arriving at, and this is what the church teaches us. Not that faith is just blind and we just suspend our reason and we just hope that something is true, but it's so far beyond us that unless it's revealed to us, there's no way that we could ever arrive at these things. The fact that God is and that God exists and God created everything, St. Paul says in chapter 1, anyone can figure that out. But that Jesus is the Son of God, but is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, the Trinity, and the virgin birth, and the Annunciation, and the Assumption, the Immaculate Conception, all these great mysteries of our faith, we know them because they've been revealed to us. Oh, the depths and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. He just can't even imagine. I think that in our contemporary days, we have so domesticated Jesus, so domesticated the faith and our liturgical worship, that we no longer are drawn into the depths of the mystery of God's love. As someone once said, that in the garden, God created man in his own image, and from that moment, we've been trying to return the favor, meaning we try to create God in our own image. We try to make it make sense. And the things that don't make sense, we just cancel them out. And we craft this carefully constructed image of Jesus and the church and our faith life so that our lives aren't too disrupted. That there's nothing too radical that we have to do. That we just sprinkle a little Jesus upon our lives. We let him fit into our lives when there's room for him. We easily dismiss him when it's not comfortable or convenient. Somehow we've lost the mystery of the depths and the wisdom and the riches of God's love. And we need to understand and wrestle with that mystery, to understand that there is a mystery to this faith, this revealing of God to us, his children, so that the gospel today makes sense. with the gospel every day, but the passages today, the very Catholic gospel that we have today, but it's the heart of Jesus. And we sadly live in this post-Reformation era in the last 500 years where we falsely believe that there are options on how we practice the faith and how we worship. And so we pick and choose where we will go and who has the best message, who has the best music, who has the best light show, which time is most convenient for me. We pick and choose our faith by convenience rather than receiving it and entering into the great new reality of the kingdom of God that Jesus came to share with us. Who do people say that I am? What a great question. Who do people say that Jesus is? If you were to go down the street today, if you go to the stores, you go to your neighbors and your relatives, you go to your job, who do people say that Jesus is? There's a billion different answers we would get. The answers that they gave in the gospel today, they were all wrong. So we can ask ourselves, who are we listening to that helps to form the idea, the image, the reality of Jesus in our life? Is it quick and comfortable, crafted for my life? Or does it draw me out of myself into something greater than myself? Is there something more here than I can put my finger on exactly? Because then Jesus turns, well, who do you say that I am? So there's two great questions. Who do they say? But who do you say? And oftentimes, we settle for what they say about Jesus. We reject the idea of encountering the mystery and wrestling with the reality of who Jesus is. And so we really can't answer, who do you say that I am? But in reality, we can. In reality, we do. Every choice you make, every website that you visit, every piece of clothes that you buy, everything that you do in your life is an answer to the question of who you say Jesus is. In one way or the other, you're claiming Christ to be the king of your life, and therefore everything changes or not. This is what's at stake in the gospel, and this is what's at stake in our lives. Is Jesus my king? Have I answered the question about who he is? Do I know him? Have I come to know him? Have I wrestled with that great mystery? Or do I just settle for the easy answers that don't require too much from me? You are Peter, he says, changing his name. And so if we just stop right there, we should know, because we're all biblical experts, that when names are changed, something major is happening. There's a new identity. There's a new mission. And so this fisherman, Simon, is now known as Peter, or is now known as Rock or Rocky. And so Rocky, your name is now Rocky, and on you, Rocky, I'm going to build my church. What a profound reality that is. That Peter answered this question. Simon answered this question. And Jesus says, you didn't just come up with this on your own. The Father in heaven gave you that answer. The Father in heaven revealed that answer to you. And you were able to say this answer out loud. He received the revelation and then was able to proclaim it. That's the reality of our life in faith. That God the Father speaks to us. He shares himself with us. And then we're able to share that reality with others. I will build my church, Jesus says. Not my churches or whatever, my church. So there's one and it's his. And that's something that we just kind of create on our own. But it's his. And that he does the building. He does the building through us, through our response to his invitation to love and radical discipleship. We help to build, but he is the main builder. We receive and respond. He's the protagonist. It's much easier if we can just do it our own way. Because that's how we do the rest of our lives. Just construct my own reality that's convenient and comfortable. But Christ is inviting us to something so much more. You are Peter, and on this rock I build my church. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of the heaven. Whatever you bind is bound, whatever you loose is loosed. And the gates of hell will never prevail. The firmly established, permanent reality of the kingdom of God. And that reality, that kingdom of God, we know as the Roman Catholic Church. But it's really just the church. But again, we live in this post-Reformation era where we think there are choices and there are options, but there's really only one church, Christ's church. We just happen to call it the Roman Catholic Church as a way of distinguishing, but there's no real option. We're not just one of the denominations. We are the church that Christ has called you out of and into. That's what the word church means. In the original language, ecclesia, to be called out of. That we've been called out of darkness, out of sin, out of chaos, out of confusion, into the wondrous light of revelation, into the wondrous light of new life, into the wondrous light of peace and joy, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, generosity, modesty, self-control. We've been called out of that into something new. And we've been called by God into his church. And this is the reality that we live in. And this isn't just something that was made up. That's what the first reading is so important for us to understand. That Jesus came in a real time, in a real circumstances. And that God the Father had established the kingdom in the Old Testament. And this is what's happening in that first reading. Is that the king had established an office called the prime minister, the overseer of the house, the chief of staff. And he had the same authority as the king. And he wore the robe and he wore the sash. And he had the authority to be the father over the people. That he could open the door and he could close the door. He spoke and he lived with the same authority as the king. This was a real reality for the people in the kingdom of the Old Testament. And it was in that reality that Jesus said, now is the real thing. Now is the new kingdom, that I am the king, and Peter, you are my prime minister, you are my chief of staff, you are the overseer of my house. You speak with the same authority that I speak. And this is why we can trust Holy Mother Church. This is why we should trust Holy Mother Church with everything, because of this passage today. The promise that the gates of hell will never prevail against her. That no lies, no misinformation, none of that. The church speaks the truth. And we can have confidence. We can rest our life on that. We can risk our life on that. We can give our life for that. There is nothing more certain in this world than a dogmatic declaration from the Roman Catholic Church. When the church says something is, it is, with the authority of God the Father behind it. The most certain thing ever are the dogmas and the doctrines proclaimed by Holy Mother Church. And we need to know this, because that question of Jesus about who do they say I am, there's lots of confusion about this, about what makes something true and what is true. And we all know the nonsense of my truth and your truth, garbage. But even within the church, there are competing voices for what is good and what is true and what is beautiful. And we need to be confident. And the traditional, the historical teachings of Holy Mother Church, which cannot change. And we need to rest our life for that. We've been called out of darkness into this new reality, into the new kingdom of God. And we've been called to go out into the world to proclaim that. Because no one can meet Jesus. No one can encounter the living God. No one can encounter the sacraments of the church and not be compelled to go out into the world to share that truth with someone else who is dying and starving and living in darkness. That we have found the way has found us, and we want to share that with someone else. This is the reality of what it means to be a member of the church, is that we don't hide ourselves behind our nice, comfortable little life, but we realize that we are in a battle, that the gates of hell are raging. The gates of hell are real, and they are attacking. But we know the truth, that Jesus wins. And so we want to make sure that everybody's on the winning team. And so we go forth from here, sharing the saving message, the life-saving message of Jesus Christ to everyone and to anyone that we've ever met, inviting them, calling them out of darkness into the wonderful light of the Roman Catholic Church. We need to have confidence, not prideful arrogance, but confidence that we are loved by God the Father, that He created each one of you to be in communion with Him. And we achieve that communion through the church. We're not on an individual journey, but as the body of Christ, we're journeying towards heaven. We need to know this. So I don't get to choose which church I belong to, or whether or not I want to belong to a church. God has called you here. This great mystery of the faith, this great mystery of God's love for each one of us. Oh, the depths and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how inscrutable His judgments, how unsearchable His ways. More than your mind can ever know is God's love for you. We receive this. We receive this great, this high calling. And then with joy and enthusiasm and a zealousness for the souls, we go out and share this. That they too are waiting to hear this great message of freedom, of love, of life. For Him and through Him and for Him all things are. To Him, to Jesus Christ, to Him be glory forever. Amen.